Hello, all, and welcome to the Experience Grind podcast. The podcast about four lads talking about getting some clunge from some birds and living life on the edge. My name is Kyle, and this week I gave a bit of a special task to the fellas. Rather than a movie, a game, we watched a TV series, a very limited series, a show called The Inbetweeners. It is a UK-British-based show from the BBC. Doesn't mean what you think it does. It stands for different things over there across the pond. So, let's get that. Let's get that one right, eh? If you don't like that, then your dad's a bumder. He's also a robot from Futurama. He's a bender.
So he's a bumder bender.
He's a bumder bender. As again, my name is Kyle. With me is my first UK friend based out of Liverpool, here from jolly old England, my good buddy Brian.
Oh, hello there from Liverpool. Just like the Beatles.
I didn't want to list each of you as like one of the characters because, number one, I don't think that's
right.
A compliment.
There's no complimentary way of introducing anybody as one of these characters, I don't think.
No there's not. I will introduce my next friend, who's from a jog up from across the pond and a little bit of the Irish flavor, Sean.
Good day. About as Irish as I get, boys.
As Irish enough, my friend. And as always, not only the whitest kid you know, the most British person you know, the mustache sells the Peter Sellers, my good buddy, Ryan.
I can't do the accent. I'm so sorry.
Come on, then.
Come on, love.
Hello.
Hey, that was good. Yeah. It starts there.
It's not bad, bruv.
You snort your Johnny, your mom's bruv.
Fucking legend.
Get some clunge. Clunge is a good one. I'm a dying clunge.
A lot of the British slang was very accessible.
Mm-hmm.
I always knew what they were talking about.
Yes. The only Britishism I still fully don't understand is like Cockney rhyming slang. Like how bees and honey means money, but like it's because the honey, that's, I get lost in that one.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But most others, like, it's pretty understandable. I'd never heard clunge before this show, but I figured out pretty quick what it was. And they use twat a lot differently.
They do.
They sure do.
Don't be a twat.
Don't be biscuits. A twat.
But yeah, all right. So The Inbetweeners. It's a show about essentially four young men and their growing pains in mid-2000s UK. We've got the four main cast, Will, Simon, Jay, and Neil. They're played by actors who I will never remember their names, except of Joe Thomas. It's funny that Simon Bird didn't play Simon, I guess. In the America, I feel like you always just have people that play their real name. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's more of an ego thing, because by that point, the comedian's well known. Possibly. It's why Tim Allen is often Tim now.
I guess he is. When you use that as an example, it does seem very ego-driven.
And Kevin James, too, who now just has a show as like Kevin Can Wait, because that's just his name now. It's just Kevin.
And he can wait and eat some sandwiches because he's Kevin James. The other person I knew, and the reason I even showed interest in this show is because I'd already seen Taskmaster, and a friend of mine recommended this show. She was like, Greg Davies is the teacher in this other show I really like. I think you would, too. You should watch it, The Inbetweeners. And I did. And I did like it. I liked it so much I did fall in love with it. My heart on my sleeve, on the rewatch, I still absolutely love this series, and I am very interested to get into it and talk about it with you guys. So let's kick it off. Audience, what we're going to do, this is a little different. Since there are six episodes, we're just pretty much going to give like a brief rundown of the episode and just kind of talk about it openly and rate each one individually. Because it's a new thing and we're tiring that out. So if you don't like it, your dad's a bender.
Or just give your gentle feedback and we'll take it.
Yeah, like that's there's cool always too. That option too.
We'll just take your feedback.
Kindly let us know.
I don't know, or be a dick, whatever.
First episode up is called First Day. And it's about Will, who is essentially, I guess, the main character. He narrates every episode. But it's Will on his first day at his new school. He has been at private school, as we can tell from his briefcase that he takes around with him everywhere. But this is his first day in public school, essentially, even though they still wear uniforms, which is very weird to me. But I think that's a very foreign thing. But he has to wear, of course, a big badge, first day blues. I guess also most schools in the UK are very bully heavy. I was never bullied this heavily, but he immediately gets the new nickname of Briefcase Wanker, and he gets
deservedly so.
Yeah, I agree.
Somewhat, he meets his teacher, Greg Davies, and then in an attempt to win the kids over in his class, begins shit-talking him in that classic, he's standing right behind me bit. And so anyways, he gets thrust into the not-so-open arms of Simon, who begrudgingly like starts to kind of show him around. And Will, having no other friends, essentially just gloms on to Simon and his two friends, Jay and Neil. And eventually, the whole basis of the episode is Will wanting to fit in and seem cool with these guys. And it's also a tradition to go out to a pub on the first school night in this grade bracket and score some drinks. And they, of course, go to the wrong pub, and a lot of shenanigans ensue. And we get the end of the first episode, our introduction to the gentleman. It's first day. So I didn't get to this in the intro, but I do know that I think only myself and Ryan have seen this show, correct?
Yeah.
Brian and Sean, you guys have never seen it. Okay.
Correct.
So I think I want to have Brian kick off with his feelings of first day first.
First day. Okay. I was surprised, when I was looking for, the year, the first thing I thought was when did this come out? And when Amazon does a weird thing where they show the most recent season's year as like the year for the show. And this show had three seasons, so it listed it as 2011. And I was like, that seems late for the kind of humor that's going on in this show. But then I found out that it was 2008, and I was like, okay, that's a little bit better, I guess. Still, I found it very, I don't know what I was expecting, because I mean, I watch a lot of British shows, or have watched a lot of British shows, and it just, I feel like I'm usually expecting something a little more dry with my British humor, and not so sophomoric.
Mm-hmm.
So I was taken aback, for sure. I don't know that I loved the first episode, because I was like, am I supposed to be following this guy Will? Like, this is my character, this is the guy, and I'm like, I don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
So, what point scale are we going on here?
five.
Five? I'm at like a two on episode one.
All right. And then I'll kick it. Wait, you kick it. I'm sorry.
Can I kick it?
Please kick
it. Yes, you can.
Kick it.
Thank you, Ryan.
Jesus.
Ryan, I'm going to kick it to Ryan.
I echo everything you said. I will get more positive as we go. I think the first episode is very messy. And I'm not going to repeat anything you said. I echo it 100%. I will also add on, like, you can tell how messy it is with the excessive narration. There's so much narration in this first episode specifically. I don't love kind of like the narrative wrap up at the end of any of these episodes, but it is throughout the entire first episode that Will's narrating. And I agree with Brian 100%. Like, I don't think you get a full glimpse of like the characters or like kind of where the show is going yet. It's just the humor, which has not clicked in for me in this episode. I am right there with him. I'm at a two. With that, I would like to hear from Sean, who is also a newcomer to the series.
Honestly, I thought I was going to be the low one on this, and I'm a little bit surprised to say that I'm not. Again, pretty much anything you guys said, but especially Brian and what you said, that you were surprised and how much like British TV you watch and like girl slime, because I watch this and I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's because it's like from the point of view for me, that it's from the point of view of such young people that I'm just like, there is parts where I just like felt really gross watching this. And yeah, but that being said, this episode made me ready to press play on the next episode and not just because I had to watch it for this. So I think in like almost on merits of itself, like that gives me an extra point in this show's direction. So I'm actually going to go with 3 on this and send it to Kyle.
I think, like almost every show, coming out the gate, you stumble a bit. No show has ever launched perfectly outside of Lost, and I'll die on that hill. But
I'll let you.
I know. For a first episode, it does the job well enough. It does rely heavily on narration to sort of set up everything because we've never met anybody and we are not familiar with this world. I don't know how a UK school works, but I think overall I kind of get it by the end. I think the first episode should have only stayed in the school. I think it does get so messy because they almost seem to jam 2 episodes together. And maybe that's also because they only have 6 episodes, but it is crazy how quickly we get from the school to the second half is all at the bar or the pub, I should say. But that said, I really like a lot of the stuff at the pub. I think it does a better job of defining what each of these characters are outside of the school environment, because we get to see Will as a fucking pompous dickhead who doesn't take no, but also is fully out of his element because he's trying to like berate the bartender that he knows all these laws in this book, and he ends up getting the hard ciders and the dude has to sit and play with him or sit with him. I don't know. All of that stuff was great. I also liked, of course, the fact that Brian, you mentioned earlier, like, you don't know if you're supposed to necessarily like these guys, and I think this episode does a great job of establishing things overall that they're very dumb guys. Like, they go to the wrong complete bar. They are idiots overall. Like, they're dumb, and they kind of should be to a degree, but that's a long-winded way of me describing. I'm with Sean. I think this right in the middle as an intro episode. I could have gone a 2, but I think overall, it's sort of middling, and I think things do get better. So with that, I will move on to the second episode, Bunk Off, where this is a fairly Will and Simon heavy episode, where they're both plotting to skip school, which is another tradition for their grade level, is skip
day. You gotta bunk off.
You gotta bunk off, eh? So they want to bunk off and, of course, buy booze again, which leads to Simon Will wearing Simon's dad's oversized suit and the hat that he insisted on, and another attempt to buy booze so that they can spend the day drinking together and, you know, looking for your dad's pornos and whatnot. I think you guys all mentioned the crassness of the show. I think one of the things that I do relate to it, and maybe this is just a me specific thing, but the way that it generally speaks to so much of my own growing up that, like, I remember, like, going to a friend's house because he nicked some of his dad's pornos and, like, all of that stuff. Like, so many things. And I see, unfortunately, so much of myself in so many of the characters. Like, I can't relate to just one because they all have certain aspects that, like, I have done at certain points in life. Like, we'll get to the party episode later, but that one super relatable at certain points. But Bunk Off, like, I remember skipping school myself once and then my mom finding out and coming and fucking finding me and picking me up and being pissed and taking me back to school. And, like, I had to get in her car in front of all my friends that were like, you know? So that's essentially it. Simon and Will, they bunk off. The boys do get drunk. They get caught and they have to deal with those repercussions. And it's another sort of just like a growing pains episode. And so that's the synopsis. And this one, I want to kick to Ryan to start off.
Oh, shit. Well, I'm not really quite sure how I feel about Bunk Off. In my rewatch, I watched the first two together, then took a break, and then finished off the last four. So really, the first two blended together. So when you were describing the first one in the bar scene, I immediately went to Bunk Off. I was like, wait, didn't that happen in the second one? I had to correct myself. So I'm a little fuzzy, to be honest. But honestly, these two, for me, feel about the same tonally. You mentioned the crassness, and it's interesting. I have had to do like a lot of fucking soul searching on these first two episodes about fucking crassness in movies because I am somebody who likes crass jokes. I like Superbad. Like, I like things like this, but there is just something about a certain character, and I finally placed it, and it's Jay. I can't gel with Jay's humor at all. Jay, to me, and this is maybe like, this is going to be a fucking tangent. I don't know where it goes, so I'm going to fucking put it here before I start talking very positively on the show, because I'm still not like super positive on the second episode either. But Jay is a rampant, nasty misogynist who is kind of also an antagonist and is just a shitty person. And they hold back any emotional like depth or reason as to why this character is like the way he is until like, I think episode 4, maybe, if we're being generous, but I would say 5. It's the caravan episode. You get hints at it maybe a little earlier, but is just awful. And it is that kind of comedic relief character where they just say awful shit, and then the other characters go like, well, that's a bit misogynist, and we just move on, but like, it never changes, it never grows. We get a reason why he's misogynistic later on, but it's this kind of, it is, for me, like the adult humor version of Howard from The Big Bang Theory. This character just is gross and kind of rampant. And then we just laugh at it because, like, it's fine. Somebody, like, called him out. And there's a lot of this shit early on, and it doesn't get addressed. I don't know. I think there's a lot of weird stuff. There's Simon. It's interesting. Simon also turns real dickhead real quick with a few drinks in him, and it brings out, there's just like something icky about the tone in the first two episodes that I don't know quite how to describe, but I am not fully on board. I really wish I didn't start this one because I feel like I'm going to be Debbie Downer on it, but I think this one for me is another
fucking great. I can finish off your thoughts.
Yeah. I want to say two, and I want to throw it to Sean because I don't want to just keep beating on this because I don't mean to, but it rubbed me a little wrong.
So yeah, I'll continue the talk on crassness here. There's a point where like Sarah watched most of this with me, and there's a point where I just looked over and I'm like, man, it's crazy. Like, how realistic they get the dynamic of friends who are young and just how dick they are to each other and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then, like, this takes it to such an unnecessarily gross degree. In like, Jay is one of the most problematic characters I've like literally ever seen. Like, he is reprehensible as a character and as a person. And it just like, it is nonstop from him. And there's like, Ryan alludes to something later with him where you like feel bad for him for like a split second. Well, at least I did. And then I'm like, well, he's pretty trash. And I think pretty much the only one morally redeemable out of this entire friends group is Neil. Is this the episode where Simon gets really shit-faced and vomits all over what's
Carly's
her face's
brother?
Brother?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Sure is.
Which, called her babes.
Like, and called her babes and was like, ugh, can you just finger yourself for me? It's like, like it was so cringe. Like, I say that.
I
like,
know.
Most gonna do, I say that to Sarah, then like something like that comes up and I'm just like, well, I mean, we weren't saying that. Like, I don't know anyone who talked like those guys do to about and to women. It was fucking gnarly. But, yeah. And then, oh my God. Like, they accused Neil's dad of trying to touch them because they got in trouble. Fucking
yeah.
Like, I was just like, are you fucking serious right now? I'm going to. This is, I actually like the first episode better than this because it helped really define the characters, and this one honestly just kind of grossed me out. So I'm going to go a 2 and send it to Kyle.
Well, after hearing his good name besmirched twice, I must say, 100%, I fucking love Jay. Jay is my favorite.
I knew you were
going to
say this. He's the worst. But he's like Quagmire. Ugh.
Well, but worse than thing, Quagmire.
Like, you're, Quagmire, you're laughing.
You're right.
I'm sorry. You're seeing the joke as Jay saying the joke and seeing that. I'd see it completely differently in the fact that, like, it's so fucking obnoxiously stupid. That's what's funny. Not, like, nobody should talk. Like, the fact that there is a human being that talks like that. And I know that there are real people that talk like that constantly, yeah, all the time. That's the, it's that fucking, that like cringe through osmosis. Like, I can't believe you're fucking real. That makes it funny to me. It's not that, oh, he said, oh, get them in their clunge. Mm-hmm. It's not that part that's the joke. It's the fact that he even did said he something so that fucking ridiculous. And it's hard to.
I get that that's the joke.
Put into words.
I get it.
But that's the shit that I love. I love Jay for the absolute ridiculous nuffs of the character. He sucks. He's stupid. But that's the part that makes me laugh. I have known guys like that too. I think Jay's bigger thing is that he's a compulsive liar. Everything is such a fucking story. Even at the last episode, we'll hook back where he's like, yo, I just got a BJ. And they're like, no, you didn't. He's like, all right, it was a HJ. And it's like, they know that.
Well,
they call him
of course
bullshit.
It all plays into the insecurities of the character.
Uh-huh.
It's
yeah,
all
he's got to build himself up constantly because his dad breaks him down all
that
the time.
Said, throughout the whole series and then the movies, he does not grow.
No, he does not.
He is
not
the same fucking character throughout. And this is the issue with Jay, is it is Arrested Development, literally.
It's also like, I can't stand when I'm watching something and I'm just praying the whole time that nobody walks into the room. It's like when I'm watching wrestling and they're just pinning him down with his balls to his butt for like 7 seconds. I'm like, nobody come in right now.
Please don't come in. Please don't come in.
Please don't
come
in. I could have watched this with Laura and I chose to watch it with the headphones on in the computer room by myself. For a reason. Many fucking remarks that I'm just like, God damn. I can't feel proud about watching this shit.
Now, don't get me wrong. I laughed. But I felt really
sometimes
bad about laughing and felt gross about laughing.
But that said, bunk off. Damn. I think it's overall, to me, just another middling episode. Nothing that fantastic happens until the end when they are just sad sacks. I think, again, I laugh at the absurdity of them trying to blame his dad for being a pedo. And then that immediately not working. And then it, it devolves into the parents, like, just trying to be like, no, it's cool, man. We don't mind that you're gay. And he's like, but I'm not gay. And then it takes the pressure off of them. I don't know. But I do think the whole bunk off thing, it almost seems like this whole episode is just like trying to be like a Ferris Bueller type send up. And it doesn't even really fully commit to that. And I think that makes it kind of weaker overall. I have it at a 3, but I think I'm going to bump it to a 2. I think it's a 2.
You can say 3, dog. Say 3, dog. Say 3 strong.
If you want but it to be a 3, it's a 3.
It is my least favorite of the whole thing. I think it is the weakest. Yeah. Especially because it's kind of heavy on Will and Simon. I'm
curious what your least favorite is.
What? Mine?
Oh, no. You just said yours is this one is the least favorite. There's no curiosity left.
No.
Brian was surprised by that, so
I was surprised that it was his least favorite.
So,
because
Brian,
this was one of my favorite episodes.
Hey, all right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm with Kyle on the absurdity of the situation being the funnier part than the actual dialogue, obviously. But like that end when Simon and Will are at Carly's house and Will is telling the 7-year-old about dirty bombs and how his parents in London are probably
that's
dead.
Good. Yeah.
And he starts freaking out. And meanwhile, Simon, who is just being a total asshole, mostly because of the advice of Jay. Let's not forget that Jay is completely complacent in the reason Simon is doing everything he's doing in this episode. At least with Carly. And when he starts throwing up everywhere, it's so good. When he throws up on the kid, I'm like, come on, this is so insane.
It's the best puke special effect I've ever seen in anything.
It's up there for sure. I don't know. I really enjoyed this one. After the first one, I was like, okay, now I'm starting to see. I was starting to understand the characters better and the humor. I understood what it was. Because I was just shocked with the first one. I did not know what I was getting into. I was like, oh, okay, that's what this is. By the second episode, I'm like, okay, I know what to expect now. And I was starting to get a bit more into it. And it's just it is still, I understand what Ryan's saying about the humor and it going too far. Because what I think the characters are authentic, but their dialogue isn't. I think that's the problem. I think the way they're ribbing each other and the way they get along and the way they shit on each other is authentic. That is how kids of that age will treat their friends. But I don't know. It's the over the top. Everything has to be the most sexualized it can be that started to feel inauthentic to me. So overall, I'm actually going to give this episode a 4.
Nice.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's all of us, right, on that episode?
Yeah.
Sure is.
All righty. So next up is episode 3, Thorpe Park. In this one, Simon is on the cusp of getting his driver's license, which Will, Simon, and Neil are all excited about because they'll get to go places. They'll have a car because Simon is the oldest of them. So he goes to his driver's test very nervous because he's an idiot. And luckily he gets the sexual harassment lady who does something and Simon passes. Hooray. And then his father gets him a new car that is the tiniest little car. Think of like, you know, a Ford Pinto, but somehow smaller because it's Europe and that's how they do things over there.
It's a panda.
It is a panda. It's a bright yellow car and he's embarrassed about it, but that's what he gets. And I think they even said it won't go over 60, although they do test that limit later. But the boys all load up And they want to go to Thorpe Park, all for different reasons. Will, because he loves roller coasters, and this has the biggest roller coaster in the UK. Jay, because they see some girls on the way. And Simon, just to go do something because he can drive. And I guess Neil also has a job there, although it's only for this one episode, and they only talk about it the one time. But we get some bits out of it. So, with that, we'll do Thorpe Park. And, Sean, I'd like you to kick this one off.
I thought this episode was very good. I enjoyed the heck out of this episode. I love the hijinks with the car. I love, I love... Will is just the worst. Like, ever since the first episode where he's just trying to Karen that bartender. And, like, if you ever ran into a Will, ever, like, that is the most entitled, like, doing and saying anything he wants, won't take no for an answer. Like, the worst fucking person. Like, to me, I don't want to be around you. You embarrass me. And when they get to the front of that roller coaster line and he pitches a fit and the people in the front row have Down syndrome or some drum, like, oh my God, I couldn't even, they get back to the car and it's just covered and shit in the wheels are going, oh,
he's loving it.
Dude, this episode.
We're losing him.
It's like easily a 4 or 5 for me. Just for that alone. I really adored this episode. I'm giving this episode a 5, and I'm sending it to Brian.
This was one of the weaker ones for me.
I love this dichotomy. This is so fucking great.
I don't know. I feel like I checked out during this episode, and I don't know why. Like, I was present, but this one had the least stickingness with me. I can't remember a lot of the episode. Like, I remember everything you talked about with the getting his license, and they go to the theme park, and I know Neil is naked in the mascot costume.
We're like, you're around kids.
Like,
but we're in the costume, man.
Yeah, but no, you should have something on under the costume. The costume shouldn't be the only thing separating your naked body from children. And then, yeah, the roller coaster bit at the end. Those are the only real parts of the episode I remember at all. So this fell flat for me. Though I did have a similar reaction as Ryan's to everything that happened at the end with the roller coaster and the front row and then the car being just completely ruined. And also Neil's sister's boyfriend not actually being a mechanic and can't fix the door on the car after all. So, this is a 3 for me. It's right down the middle.
Who are you kicking to?
Kyle.
All right. I'm with Sean. I also love the Thorpe Park episode. I love Simon getting his license. I love them driving the shitty car. Of course, like, trying to keep up with the girls. That's all Jay cares about. And Simon's just, like, trying to follow all the rules of the road. I fucking love when they do the Tommy Boy bit and Jay rips his fucking door off. And then, for the rest of the episode, Simon just carries a fucking car door. The commitment to that bit is fucking astounding. They're, like, trying to check in. They're like, no, we can't store a car door. What? And, I don't know. Just the fucking, I think they used that image for a lot of promotional shit too, of the three or the four of them walking and Simon carrying the fucking bright yellow car door everywhere. Again, I think Neil, it's very weird. I think they just kind of wrote in that he has the job there, just to have him do something else and to also kind of explain like, oh yeah, his sister can take care of it, or his sister's boyfriend. He works at the garage. I thought the bit was going to be that he worked at like a parking garage. Because he also worked at night.
Oh, that would have been good.
I thought that would have been a little bit funnier, but he's just like, no, he just does like the oil changes. He can't fix a door. What do you mean? But I'm very high on Thorpe Park. I also think that ending is fantastic. And I love that the boys in the van are also the ones that like get their revenge and they're like flipping them off as they drive by and doing the British 2 thing. All in all, just a great one. I'm at a 4 on this one. And Ryan?
I'm right there with you. I'm also at a 4. This is where I go positive. This one sings to me, and I will tell you why. The first two episodes are very horny. This one's not. I think they all have fucking focuses, except for Jay, who can't stop being fucking horny and is just annoying. But everybody else kind of has a drive in this one. I love the Simon bit of him getting kind of mad and chuffed at his parents and like him like talking back to his dad and saying shit under his breath. They're like, I sure hope this isn't the best fucking gift. It better not fucking be. Like, just I love it. I cannot get enough of him like fuming under his breath. I think everybody's on their game in this one, except for Jay. I think Jay's episode will come. It's not quite there. I still find him annoying in this, but I agree with everything else that's been said. I love the image of Simon fucking around with the door the whole time in the theme park. I really love Neil getting naked and asking for the wasp stings to be creamed down and just like kind of that little bit of humor. It's that kind of crassness works on me. It's making the characters uncomfortable, not the audience. So like, cool with that. Love it. This one works for me. This one's a 4. It's not my favorite of the series, but it's where it turns around, I think.
Okay. So next up is, excuse me, the episode Will Gets a Girlfriend. So the boys end up going to a party, and the party is pretty lame, and they're debating about leaving, but they keep hearing a rumor that Charlotte is going to be there, and Charlotte's really cool. And if Charlotte's coming to this Charlotte Hinchcliffe. But if she shows up, then this party will definitely be cool. And of course, Charlotte Hinchcliffe does show up with a few of her girls. And Will is in the kitchen trying to get more drinks, and he can't find any beers except for the one beer in the washing machine, which he's pretty sure Neil put there. Because Neil said he would hide all of his beers in the washing machine if he hosted a party, because nobody would ever look there. But Will finds the champagne and begins to surreptitiously open it as Charlotte walks in and says that, oh, I see you've opened my champagne. And for once, Will's pretentious and book snobbishness and general more adultness to him works in his favor. He's not seen as a twat wanker. Charlotte's actually a bit charmed by him, and surprisingly he hits it off with the coolest chick, and everybody else is incredibly shocked and jealous except for Simon, who spends the entire party drunkenly staring at one girl, thinking he's putting the moves on her but giving her the heebie-jeebies. Big relatable point for your boy Kyle here. I did do this at an underage drinking party where I was much too blitzed and saw a very pretty girl and stared at her for a very long time until two of my friends had to come and be like, dude, you have to stop staring at her. She is very freaked out. And I was like, no, I'm good. I'm cool, man. What? No, no,
oh, no, not you know, me.
It happens to us. This show is real. It's fucking real. It sucks. You can't help it. You don't even know you're doing it sometimes. But that hopefully said, Will does get a girlfriend, and it leads to I don't know about you boys, but another very relatable point. The first few times that I ended up having intercourse was just a very awkward. It's a nothing. You don't know what you're fucking doing. Again, just so goddamn awkwardly relatable. That's the thing I love about this show is how much I was like, holy shit, they pulled this out of my head. I've been in these. This is real. Will gets a girlfriend to me. I fucking love it. This is the episode for me where this show really starts to sing and everybody is sort of hitting their thing. I love when things don't work out and Will has sold out all of his friends to be with Charlotte, who dumps him because he lied and he is a virgin and she knows it after their first attempt. And I love that he runs home and cries to his mom. And God damn it, Simon and Jay show up and they're like, hey man, Neil won this dorky girl date and he's down there doing it right now. You want to come with us and laugh? And it's so perfect, man. It's such a fucking great little snapshot of that era. And that, if I was in the UK, that could have been me, man. I love this episode. This is a 5. This is a perfect fucking one for me. And I want to kick it to Sean.
I'm not quite as high on this episode as you are, but I actually did also enjoy this. This episode definitely didn't reach the heights of the gnarliness of the first two episodes. I did really find hilarious all of the situations that these guys just found themselves in and the absurdity of just Will laying on top of her, stiff as a board, not dong-wise, body-wise, and just kind of like moving his whole body was just, I mean, not relatable to me, but...
It was almost like he was soaking.
Almost!
Like he was soaking. Almost. If you're curious about that, check out the Patreon, folks. That is a trip of a show. Coming out Friday. Patreon.com/experiencegrind. But it's not exactly relatable, but it is where I want this show to go, like, you know, a little too far, where it's just absurd. I thought that was funny. And I'm going to give it a 4 and send it to Brian.
Yeah, I agree with Sean on this one. This one wasn't, I didn't find it to be the perfect episode, like Kyle said, but I was definitely back into it. This one, after I've kind of been on a roller coaster. 1, I did not like. 2, I liked. 3 was fine. And then this one is going back up a little bit. And I'm like, okay, I can see what they're doing with these characters now. And I'm starting to understand the dynamic. Will is not nearly as insufferable in this episode, which makes it much easier to digest. And it's like kind of the first time that you feel like he's actually learning a lesson. Like he did something wrong, like he has in almost all the episodes, but this time there are consequences for it. And it's nice to actually see him pay those consequences. And then his buddies come in and they cheer him up anyway. And it's a very nice, wholesome moment. So I think for this one, I am going to go with a 4. And I'm going to pass it to my friend, Ryan.
Friend!
I was
going
to say, nobody's mentioned it. That's like my favorite bit of this, is them antagonizing Jay about his friend.
Again,
that's
so relatable.
And football
friend? To the point, like, Jay just brutalizes the hood of this dude's car, who is his supposed friend. And, like, even Simon and Neil are just like, is he actually his friend or not? And you really don't know. I think it's... It's the first time I've had fun with Jay as a character. Yes. Was in this episode. I also agree with everything you said. I think they've softened Will. I think they're starting to like kind of learn him and get him a little bit better. And like, I think it kind of picks up from here on out. I think it's good. I'm with Kyle. This one sings. This one absolutely sings. I don't think there's any issues with it for me. I love a lot of this episode. This is probably my highlight of series 1. I think they perfectly found like a way to blend all the crass humor with heart. And I think that was the important missing thing in the first two episodes for me, was there's not a lot of heart or care. But just as you said, like the simple act of Jay and or Simon showing up at the end is it's such a small act, but it shows something deeper. So like then when Jay is just a complete knob to everybody, he's like, okay, I get it. Like, that's the best you can do, buddy. But like, you're there. So like, you have something endearing you to the characters by this point. I'm with Kyle. This is a five. This is easily my favorite of season 1.
Well, that's a shocker, because I was going to have you kick off the next episode, which is Caravan Club, where all season long, Jay has been bragging about his vacations that he takes with his family to the Caravan Club, where all the birds are flinging it out and giving you the clunge and
flinging it out, all of the stuff, and they squirt, and all the everything,
you know. And the boys have rightfully been calling, "You're full of shit, Jay. You're such a liar. You've never had sex." And he's like, "I've had sex with everyone, including your mom. Your mom's quite fit, Will." And his mom is quite fit.
His mom is quite fit.
So they end up, they go on the Caravan Club. They go, and Jay has set Simon up with a girl there, because that's, I guess, who you would set someone up out of that crew. You would go with Simon, I would think. Will, again, just gets a girl thrust into his lap who's way too forward for him to deal with, to the point that he regresses to childhood. And did you love a slide? I love to slide. Let's slide. Let's slide. And then, the fucking kids steal his shoes. And then he has to go to the bathroom in his socks, and you see him step in the wetness, and God. And you fucking, Jay's dad again is just the grossest human being ever. Ever.
He's terrible.
Just a disgusting, disgusting human being. And Simon drops down a couple pegs again. He drops his pants while fully wearing a condom on his erect penis and scaring the girl off, who was quite sweet and into him, and then gets rightfully called a sexual assaulter. And of course, Jay's dad's like, "Hey, we've all been there." Which, ugh. No, we have not, sir. But yeah, Caravan Club. And I will stick to the guns. Ryan, I do want you to kick this one off.
So Sean alluded it earlier on in the episode about the sympathy or remorse you finally start to feel for Jay. And I think that's 100% like the big point of this episode for me, is this is the Jay episode. This is the reckoning for all his lies. You see why he lies. You see why he's like a misogynistic little piece of shit. It's because his dad is the biggest misogynistic piece of shit. And it's this weird thing that happens. It's the generational thing that gets passed down, and the kid tries to emulate it to impress the father. So like, it just, it's this weird cycle shit, but like, it's so clearly envisioned here that like, I, as somebody who's just like looking for this for like, essentially like somebody could come to this as like the British American Pie. I think this is pretty fucking insightful and very kind of profound. I really like this episode. This is another perfect kind of episode for me. I think it encapsulates what works best for the series. I love Neil's complete innocence. I, of course, echo everything Kyle said in the summary. But we didn't talk about fucking Neil just loving to dance. And, like, that's how he ends up winning the girl. I love Neil's just purely stupid innocence. He is, like, the team's Lenny. And I love him. I love him for it. I really like this episode. I think it's a really good mix of everything that we've covered before, just done well. Another five from me here, dogs. So with that, I guess I have the whole floor is open. Bry Guy, what did you think?
I completely agree with you. I think this is my favorite episode of the season.
Nice.
I think it really sings. It gives you sympathy for Jay finally. And it's Neil sneaky becomes my favorite character in this episode. Just like out of nowhere, all of a sudden, Neil, who has not been given anything for the first four episodes, is going to be just like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing here. And Simon becomes a little more creepy, which bums me out because at the beginning part of this season, I was like, okay, this is like the guy that is I most identify with, I think, through all this. And then he just keeps getting worse and worse, it seems, as it goes on. So while everybody else is getting better, Simon is slowly getting worse. And I'm like, okay, so yeah, it's a weird trade-off. Obviously, Terry is the fucking worst. Jay's dad, I can't stand everything about him, but in a way that, and again, this is, I think, what they've been trying to accomplish this whole time is the absurdity of what he says is funny, because it's like, who's that extreme in being just the worst? And yeah, this episode's a 5 for me, and I will send it to Sean.
Yeah. Jay's crassness doesn't get turned down in this episode, but what this episode does is give you the balance to Jay's character that it so desperately needs, or context to his character that it so desperately needs for the prior four episodes. And like, with that being said, I don't mind his character as much and how insane and how fucking over the top he is when there's some sort of balance to it. And like I said, it only really made me feel bad for him for a couple of seconds because his dad is just a gross human being. But like, if you were to take the two things separately and put them at the same age, so it's not some weird power abuse thing that makes it worse, Jay is objectively still worse than his dad and the shit that he says. To me, well, I guess it is subjective, but like, I guess comparing your son to your mom's penis and stuff is a little out there, but man, Jay is gross.
It's so insane.
With all that being said, like, the balance is what I had been just holding out for this whole time and hoping came, or something to knock him down a peg to just make me feel a little bit better about him. It does. Now, don't get me wrong, it doesn't make me feel any better. He is still like the most, everybody in the show is super rapey and it's like kind of not cool, but he's like, Jesus Christ, does he have a record?
Well, I mean, that's lad culture in the mid-2000s.
I was going to say,
that's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the late 2000s. 2008, come on. I expect this out of 2005, 2006.
But we've grown so much since
Crank. The crank years, as we call them.
Yeah. Crank years. Did Crank come out in 2008? Shit.
Mm-hmm. I think it was 2005 or 2006.
Oh, yeah. See? That's so what I'm talking about.
Well, but High Voltage. Crank, which pushed it.
That's High Voltage was cinema.
High Voltage. you know.
I'm going to give this a 4 and send it to Ryan.
Me.
Kyle.
Crank, High Voltage. Yeah, closing it out,
I can't argue anything. You guys nailed everything about this episode. Cinema. I'm fully with Ryan, and I think, Brian, this is another perfect one. This is a full 5. I really love everything about it. I think my favorite bit that Jay's dad does, it's just needlessly a dick, is they thank Jay's mom for making the crisps. It was like, yeah, all she did was open the bag.
Like, he wasn't fucking wrong. Fucking dick, dude. Like, you didn't have to say it, but he wasn't wrong.
Like that. No, of course not. But like, come on, man. It's just, it's the nice gesture of being nice. And he's like, yeah, she opened the bag. Ah, what a prick. And I love that when he comes out, you hear him, number one, because they're in a fucking tiny caravan. You hear him just blowing it up while they're trying to eat. And everybody's looking at Jay, like, awkwardly. Ah, just fantastic. I love, again, the reiteration of the fact that at their core, these guys are losers. Will gets his shoes taken by 8-year-olds. He's a fucking, like, 16. And he gets bullied by 8-year-olds. He's a loser. It's great. Mm-hmm. 4-5. So, and that will bring us to the final episode, the Xmas party. Will has been elected the chairman of the Christmas party committee because he's the only one that signed up for it. And so he has recruited, of course, Jay, Simon, Neil, and a bunch of other kind of, well, we met, what's his face? Big John? The last episode. I love Big John. Big John's great.
Big John is great.
But pops up some other just kind of hang around characters. The nerdy girl with the big cheeks, she appears again. She's on the Christmas committee too. But Neil is very stressed about the Christmas party. He wants to put it on. He wants to put on a good one. He wants to impress everyone. And so he goes all out. He puts up balloons. He puts up streamers. And he's still flipping out to the point that even Simon comments like, you got balloons, man. You're already better than anything this school has ever done for us. So you're fine. Don't worry. And they go out. The bit to get the suits is a little off. It's funny, but they don't end up wearing any of those suits. But that also does set up Neil coming in and stealing the fucking show with his outfit. Looks like it's straight out of Grease. John Travolta walked off and handed it to him, and he put it right back on. Walked out. You can see his cock and everything. Also weird that at the UK at their prom, you get 2 free alcoholic drinks. What the fuck, man?
Right?
Shit is wild over there.
No rules.
But yeah, Neil has one too many and tries to put the moves on his 30-year-old teacher who is fit. Jay says she's fit. Will and Simon are like, she's not fit. She's just a 30-year-old woman at our school. She's the only one you see.
Simon's like, nah, so right.
She's fit.
Miss Timms is island fit.
but yeah.
But what are the implications there, Brian? Tell me what island fit means.
Well, that's, you know, if you're on a deserted island, she's fit.
What? Simon, of course, attempts to impress Carly again. The running theme with Simon is that he's wants to profess his love for Carly, even though we all know that, like, Carly doesn't give a shit, dude. And he rightfully decides to not do that in the moment and make another ass of himself in front of the whole school. God damn it. I do love back at the bunk off episode where he spray painted in her driveway and then she shows up with her friends and he's immediately like, we can just pretend like this never happened. Like, I didn't do this. Like, you didn't see it. Like, my mates didn't see it. Like, your most mates didn't see it. And they're already laughing and texting people about it. But anyways, yeah, he decides not to do that. Charlotte, again, kind of does a little thing with Will. She kisses him, which, of course, upsets Donovan, who threatens to beat him up. And then we come to find out that the school is actually warmed up to Will. Although they still call him Briefcase, they don't call him Briefcase Wanker. They just say, hey, leave him alone, Donovan. Briefcase put on a good party. Come on. Cut it out. And Will gets what he wanted. He gets the respect of his school for doing the party. He got a kiss from Charlotte. It's all coming up aces for all the boys. Everything kind of turned out, except for Neil. He did look like a real creeper to Miss Timms. So, final episode, Xmas party. Sean, take us home.
Oh, why do you gotta start with me? I'll give this a 4 and pass it to Brian.
Okay. Yeah, this one was a weaker one for me. I like that Will.
I'm going 3.
Will got his acceptance. It was like the last thing his character needed to complete his new kid in school arc. He has now been accepted by his classmates because he did a good job with the prom. wow, did they just take that out of every high school movie ever? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like Jay also like manages to get some in this episode, which is something he's been talking about for even in the caravan episode, where he's the only one who doesn't have a chance to hook up. And now here he is. He finally gets all the way through. And then, of course, he lies about it. He says to everybody that he got a BJ behind the DJ stand. And they're like, no, you didn't. But
no, I didn't.
Yeah, after Neil became my favorite in the last episode, this episode he was like, "Oh, not so fast."
Yep.
They all have ebbs and flows. Like you like different characters at different points, and I actually like that a lot. But overall, this episode felt very by the books and like let's wrap up the series. We had our story to tell, and let's get through it. So for me, this one is only a 3, and I would like to hear from Ryan.
I kind of agree with you on a lot of the things, especially like that closing shot with the four of them laying on the trampoline feels super cliched. And like, there's a lot of some of these moments that are very just like, oh, we're doing this. I see. We are a coming of age story and we are doing this now. That said, there's also Greg Davies in this one. And I love the back and forth with him and Will when Will lets out the Phil first name. And he's like, no, say my name.
So good.
Say my name. Say my name and say I'm sorry. And just that kind of dynamic. And I do think a lot of the characters are still like really good in this episode. There are still a lot of funny bits. I'm conflicted. I think 3 is the lowest I would go, which is still positive. But I also kind of want to give it a 4 because I do think it ends on kind of enough of a high where I'm like, I'd watch a season 2. If season 2 were to play right now, I'd watch it. We could go with season 2. So I think to make up for my negativity in the first 2 episodes, at the very least, I'm going to go with a 2. But I will also, going to go with a 4. I will also push it up because I do really liked how like the bully arc with Will wrapped up and like the school being like, hey, briefcase, good job, leave him alone. And then he starts to like give a speech and everybody just immediately turns their back on him.
Yes.
Like they handle it perfectly. Yeah. It's so good. So I'm a 4. I'm kind of positive on it. Kyle, where are you on it?
I don't have anything else to add. You guys represented everything. I'm with you, Ryan. I think this is a 4. It's not the high marks of the last 2 episodes, but it's still good. It's a good ending to the season. It wraps it up nicely. If we never got a season 2, this would have been a perfect ending to the series. So that in of itself is great, and I love that. So I'm a full 4, and I think that will end that ranking, but we do want to give some extra points somewhere,
right? We don't have to.
Didn't you say we need to?
No.
No? Nope. Okay. Well, before we get to that, though, I do want to know what everybody's favorite character is. I already laid mine out. It's obvious. I love Jay. So, Sean, who do you like?
Mr. Gilbert. He's the only one that Gilbert is a
perfectly fine answer.
Okay. Also,
going Neil. Off script. I like that.
Yeah.
Neil?
If I had to pick one of the 4, it's Neil.
Okay. Brian, you kind of skirted around Neil, and then it kind of went away. Where are you at?
I started off pretty heavy with Simon, but he disappointed me too many times, so it has to be Neil for me too.
Okay, Ryan,
I'm sorry. I still love Simon. Simon cracks me up. He's problematic, but they're all problematic, and Neil gets even worse as it goes.
You think so? Simon, I thought Neil got better. Neil becomes.
I don't remember that. I remember him.
Neil has a good arc. I remember Neil more like
sexy, sexual, weird situations. He's the one who consistently gets into shit. And I remember sticky wickets, maybe, but maybe not. Maybe I'm incorrect in my logic. That said,
it's crazy.
Throughout series 1, Simon cracks me up. I really appreciate Simon. He's problematic, but I don't know. I like what Joe Thomas does.
Other than that, do you guys have a new or just a funny British slang that you heard from this that really sort of just hit that itch? You really liked it.
Not really. to be honest.
I can't think of anything in particular, no.
No. I just remember the way that they
would... Anything I...
Twat. I like twat, the way they were tossing that one out in this series.
Yeah, I guess. I just liked how accessible it was. I feel like everybody's always like, oh, those crazy Brits, they say stuff that doesn't make any sense. And like I'm watching this and like, even when they're saying, I don't know what they're referencing at first, but like immediately with context, it's like, oh, duh. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I get everything.
It works. I think, Ryan, you said you were handling math on all this.
I did.
Ooh,
I got this.
I did not.
I got this covered, boys.
Thanks, Shawnee. Thank you, buddy.
I actually went back to episode 2 as well and bumped me from a 2 to a 3. One, because of the dirty bomb explanation that Brian brought up. And also, my God, the laugh that I let out when that poor mentally disabled girl got beamed in the head with a frisbee.
With the frisbee. Holy
fuck. Dude. I laughed so hard. And then he's trying to fight her for it. I got a receipt.
Take it back.
I got a receipt.
I have a receipt.
Oh, my God. So fucking funny. But, boys, through the span of those 6 episodes, we have come to a total of 73 out of 100. 73%.
That's not bad. That's actually pretty high.
Brian, if you were to compare that to stuff, how's that do?
If I was to compare that to stuff, I would say that is the exact score that Metacritic gave it, 73.
No shit. Yeah. Hey! Yeah.
It's got an 83 critical on Rotten Tomatoes, which is obscene. It's so high. 83 critical, 93 audience.
It's not that insane when you realize it's just 93 people giving it a 6.
That's true.
That's true. 8.4 on IMDb, though.
Now that
huge
is high.
Numbers.
That's basically a 12.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Letterboxd doesn't do TVs, but there is a service called, I have forgotten the name of it. Yes. No. What did you say?
I made up something. Switchbox, because isn't that what a TV changer used to be called?
No, but it does start with an S, I think. Oh, Serialized.
Ah.
Oh.
Serialized is TV Letterboxd, basically. And they give it a 4.25. So.
Out of 6?
Out of 5.
Seven? I'm assuming.
Damn, son.
Out of 5. So, yeah. Highly rated show.
Damn.
73 is actually on the low end when you look at that.
I love how this show just kind of ping-ponged over the course of 6 episodes on how everybody thought about each episode. And it's really interesting to see how close we are in our own personal viewings and consumption of each episode.
Yeah.
Except for Brian with that wild 4 out of nowhere. But
I liked the second episode.
That's good. I'm glad that you guys took the chance to watch it. I know it was a little weird. I think it just being 6 episodes made it a lot easier to digest. I did it, and I did 2, 2, 2. Just easy to knock out. And I really had a fucking great time with it. So I appreciate you guys taking the time and, you know, trying something different and new. I do think it maybe made it easier to digest. And I don't think we'll jump into it soon, but as well as this one went, I think we will probably do Inbetweeners season 2 at some point. So,
with all that being said,
it's also just
like,
another 6 episode run. I won't do it immediately.
These 6 episodes were still a shorter amount of time than when I made you guys watch the 2-part Paul Rubens documentary. So,
they're like 23, 25, because I mean, they are like a sitcom. So,
yeah.
But you gave us like 2 hours worth of content to view.
Yeah. I appreciate it, boys. It was a lot of fun. I really had a good damn time. So,
for the amount of people that have been telling me to watch this for so long, one, I'm glad I did, finally. And two, why? Why were you guys pushing this so hard? Why?
Because it's funny.
It is funny.
It's crazy who turned me onto this show. You would not think so, that she would be into this type of stuff. But
your mom.
No, just a friend.
That's like a joke from the show.
She's fit.
She's fit. I was going to say that, but I thought Kyle would punch me somehow from North Carolina.
You think my mom's fit, man? Good for her.
Nice. Let's go.
Nice.
Man. Fucking glow her up, dog. Go for it.
Mm. My mom could do worse than Sean, for sure.
Yeah, man.
It's true. It's true. 100%.
I'd be all right with that. Sean's a good guy.
Oh, so the other day at work, I was just doing some work silently for a bit. I was out and about. I was doing some cleaning. You know, I want this place to be looking good soon for some reason. And, you know, a long hour and a half of silence went by. And all of a sudden, all I said was, man, I didn't realize this was hereditary from my mom, but I guess I have a blown out back too. All I heard was just, oh my God, you have been silent for 2 hours and that's all you say? Yeah, I guess so.
I like
boys.
That one. I'll go ahead.
Do you guys remember what I'm bringing to you next week?
I do. I
listeners, do you remember?
Oh, I'm ready. They might, but you should remind them.
Yeah, I am bringing something that is accessible to anybody. It's going to be just on YouTube. It is a YouTube found footage horror movie called Milk and Cereal. And cereal as in like serial killer, not
like
cereal,
the podcast.
Like the podcast. Brian, you have your fingers on the pulse of the world. Yeah, but yeah, it's going to be
10 years ago.
Horror movies.
But it is Milk and Cereal, found footage horror film. That is the entire title of it from That's a Bad Idea. I cannot wait to talk to you guys about this. It's only like an hour long. But yeah, I'm really interested to see what everybody and Brian especially has to say about this movie.
I'm a little excited, actually. So
hell yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. But guys, listeners, if you want to know what we talked about on Patreon this week, well, there's an easy way to find that out. You're going to have to head right on over to patreon.com/experiencegrind and soak in all of the wonderful, wonderful goodness nice. That is our voices. Yeah. Yeah. That's also on our linktree/experiencegrind. Find links to everything, including the Discord, where I didn't realize, guys, for a 64 smell bracket, how actually angry I am getting at some of these they're great battles. A lot of them are coming down to ties. And how badly this wheel of fate that is deciding the fate of these ties is making me.
So far, dear it's Lord. Picked everything I wanted, so I'm okay.
Really?
The exact opposite of Sean.
God damn it. 0-2.
So mad.
Yeah. But it's a blast. If you like little bracket and best of things, it's definitely worth heading over there. But Kyle, take us out, man.
Yeah, you know what you can do, audience. You can kiss your mom's clutch, dad's binder.